all in lowercase on the Worst Little Podcast.
Who wants to be famous?
The biggest little city in the world, American cradle of liberty.
Look at you, you're a freak!
What are we alive for except to grab all the kicks we can? To contaminate our society.
Now being renovated.
Mr. Dowd.
Podcasting from a tiny pocket of winter in the worst little podcast of the world. I don't even know what that is anymore. We're here at the Dogwater Studios, beautiful Reno, Nevada, blah, blah, blah. I've just been so shaken and thrown off by that amazing performance just now. It's heavy, it's awesome, and we're full of it. It's the scattering today.
On the worst little podcast, we're talking out of our ass.
Yeah.
That was really heavy.
Yeah, it was great.
That was great.
Yeah, yeah, that jingle is just like heavy as fuck.
No, you guys.
Right. It's so stuck in my head.
Hi, everybody. Like, I don't know about you out there in podcast land, but here in the past, we're all exhausted after an amazing weekend of awesome stuff happening.
Yeah.
Yeah. You guys, you had a show.
Yes, we played the punk rock flea market.
That was the show that Kim was a part of.
And that Raj and Ian were a part of also.
That's right.
Raj
That's
was my right-hand man like the entire time. You were there, I think, probably longer than I was.
Oh, God, I don't want to talk about
it. Or at least as long as I was. entire weekend.
It was a really long
he
weekend.
He has some PTSD going on right now.
We were the only heavy band on that whole thing. I just
you
wanted
really
to
were.
Point that out.
Yeah.
That
Oh, yeah.
We were like the token metal band for 2 days.
No, it was great,
though.
It
was awkward.
No, it wasn't awkward for us. It was super fun.
Yeah.
Did you see the crowd?
Yeah, people went nuts. But I think a lot of that had to do with the guy that stapled crap to
Houdini?
Himself.
Houdini?
Like,
oh, God.
Houdini.
Oh,
that guy, that could not have been more perfectly timed to work for our
he
benefit.
He drew a big crowd for us.
That's not a staple for me. He's the same guy last year that set off the mousetrap with his tongue, right?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Jesus.
Now, did he swallow the sword in the middle of your set while on the floor?
Was actually,
that was actually his
partner. That was during Deadly Gallows.
Deadly Gallows.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then his partner swallowed one right before we played and let someone else pull it out.
Yeah.
Ah, right. Excellent.
Yeah.
That's some trust.
They're
many jokes about
they are fun.
Right. Sexually.
They are
but like
a
stranger,
couple.
not like someone she trusted.
Yeah.
Some random
someone
person
the crowd,
from the crowd.
Yeah.
With dirty hands, probably.
And like, who knows how many beers at that point?
Yeah.
It's fucking 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
Jiggle it.
Yeah, and they're like really pushing the thing. Like you have to just pull it straight. If you twist it at all, she'll fucking die. And the lady's like, just like in her phone. Just like, yeah, I got it. No, it's I'm listening. Oh.
That's really interesting.
It was great.
Hey, before we get ahead of ourselves, let's introduce ourselves to the listening audience, all of you with mouths who are on the other side of microphones. Starting with you, Jim.
I'm Jim. I scream.
I'm Jason, and I also scream and pluck some strings.
I'm Rosh, and I pluck strings on... pluck four strings.
I'm Brian, and I rush all the songs.
He's not lying.
Aww.
Indeed. Well done, sir. And, Rosh, I'm just going to apologize now because of where your bass is. I'm going to just hit it all night long with my hand.
We'll
but
be
I
watching
I
you all night.
I won't break it, I promise.
I can think of an easy fix for that.
Yeah,
probably
I could,
just
too.
Just move that, maybe? But...
just sit on
I
your
think,
hand.
I think Rory wants to stroke it.
I'd rather just keep you on your toes.
He likes it.
It's nice.
Save those moves for the video version of this.
Right.
I'll just
from
gently
I'm,
touch the top
sitting,
of it, a little edging.
Yeah, that's how I like it.
Base edging.
Go on.
Oh, it's getting
Why'd
really
you stop
weird
there?
In here.
I like handling your neck. It's fat and black.
For anyone not in the room right now, you are missing out.
You gotta get
I'm,
all the
I'm
way to
talking,
the top
of
fret.
Course, about, you know, Rosh. Right.
Neck's getting handled
base.
In here.
Yeah.
You say you want to see my testicles?
So hey, let's talk more about this flea market.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
you start. No, Kim. Like, how many people do you think was there?
We are estimating about 3,000 people.
How many vendors
who
did
bought
you
tickets?
Have? Like, how many vendors showed up and did stuff?
We had 103 vendors.
Nice.
And 14 bands actually. 14 bands over 2 days. And it was just complete madness. Saturday, we had more traffic than we had the entire weekend last year.
Wow.
And Sunday was about average for last year, but Saturday was just insane.
Yeah, like 1 o'clock, there was a line going almost down to like the corner of like the generator. Like insane. It was. Yeah.
I will admit the news and knowledge of that through the social medias is not in any small way a contributing factor to me not taking the children.
Oh. Well, you guys missed out. I know it was probably going to be a huge pain in the ass for some people to get there. But to the ones who did get there, I think they had a great time. And I think it was worth it for them.
Yeah.
We worked really hard to make sure that this was an event that people would have fun at. And I think we succeeded. I think the bands all had a really great time. There was just a constant crowd at the stage both days, and it was just super fun and fulfilling to actually watch happen.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
The kickoff party was fun on Friday.
The kickoff party was super fun. Basement Tapes, Heterophobia, and from LA, CC Potato. They all played really, really great sets. Nice. Houdini Driftwood and his girlfriend Marissa Rose, they both did Sword Swallowing. At the actual show, we gave away a whole bunch of patches.
Which are sick.
Yeah. Everybody was, like, super stoked.
It was fun.
Yeah.
I was able to go because I was out and about and on the town. I had just gone and seen the Good Luck Macbeth production of Game of Thrones. Winter is back. They rewrote the last season because fuck that shit.
And somebody had to do it.
Right. That's exactly.
How did it end?
I myself actually did not watch the show at all, but I did attend the performance, and it was hilarious.
How did the show end and the performance?
Were Starbucks
there was a lot of display. I don't know. There was a lot of sex and killing.
Okay, so
there were some dragons. I think probably different outcomes. I wouldn't know what they were because I didn't watch the show, so I can't say.
Damn it,
but
Murray, I couldn't go. You're supposed to be like my man on the inside for theater.
I was there, but I didn't. I read the books. I didn't watch the show, and so whatever.
Yeah. You didn't really miss
well, no,
out
there was
much.
Just other stuff so on helpful. TV, and I didn't pay for HBO for 6 years. Right, you know,
I don't think you missed
Dad,
out on
you
much.
You fucking retarded douchebag.
That's like Cosby Show. Wow.
Yeah, well, you're never going to get to see Dexter, you little psychopath.
She will.
I'll show you Dexter.
Also, not missing much.
But no, it was
first season was good, and the rest, meh.
Yeah.
The Game of Thrones, it was a fun little one-off. We just did it for the weekend. We've got more upcoming shows. Please keep a lookout on our Facebook page for the next couple of weekends. Fear of Missing Out February at Good Luck Macbeth, followed up by Noises Off, the greatest farce ever written. It's the Broadway hit, Noises Off. It's been made a movie at least once, maybe twice.
Yeah, Jamie's in that, right?
Yes.
Or is she directing it?
In it.
She's in it. Okay.
The good Mr. David Richards is in it. He and Joe Atack will be joining us on an upcoming podcast to talk more about
awesome.
It.
That'll be fun.
Awesome. Yeah, but that'll be going on in March. So just a couple weeks away. I would suggest start if you want to go, if you're a big fan of theater, this is something you don't want to miss. Go get your tickets now, and I do recommend the champagne seating.
Champagne seating is real nice.
Front row seat service booze. Yeah,
that's
it's
pretty.
And your friends
awesome.
Bring
fancy.
You free booze.
Yeah.
So
yeah, it's pretty cool.
Fuck yeah, dude.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Sounds like a perfect date idea.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
For those of us, yeah.
And you look classy, like you're in the theater.
So that little bit of conversation was just taking like 3-4 of us through till like Friday. And it was a long weekend, everybody.
Yeah.
That's why we're tired this week.
Yeah, I feel like I don't have feet anymore.
But that's why we're also going to
100%
make the
go.
Band dance like monkeys for us.
Oh, lots
that's
of
what
songs.
You want.
No, the band did a fucking amazing job.
I think we should.
At the flea market, by the way.
Like, so great.
Yes.
So great.
Like, Sucker
so
Punch.
Great.
Fuck
yeah, they all really did.
Yeah, you guys played right job. Before Sucker Punch.
It was
fun.
It was great to have them end the whole thing.
That was a perfect,
I saw
like,
the video that looked pretty bitchin'.
I was blown away with the toddler mosh pit.
I think you guys even had some toddlers.
Punk rock flea market tradition.
But the toddler pit for Sucker Punch was the highlight of my weekend.
Yeah. I think we've had a toddler pit every year we've done the flea market, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
It's so fun seeing all of these young punk rockers that I used to know from basement shows with up on stage playing music while their infant children dance about in front of them.
We actually had to make it feel more like a basement. We all came down off the stage.
That was punk rock.
Yeah.
That was super fun.
Unless
only band like all weekend that did that,
Are we really?
I think so.
Yeah. Wow.
You're the only band that didn't feel like you're better than everybody.
You should get, next year, you should get a sticker that looks like a drain to put like right where like the singer will have to stand so they'll feel more at home.
I'm just saying, these guys worked just as hard as the rest of us did.
Hell yeah.
And it was super fun. And
what, us?
Yeah, you guys worked hard.
We showed up and
played hard. You played hard. It was fucking fun.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. And
what were
nice of you to say.
Those of you who were there all a part of some of the weekend, Raj, what were some of the highlighted, what were some of the good band acts like? What were the top acts that you saw?
To be honest, the whole weekend was kind of a blur.
He was working
really
sound.
Didn't see anything.
I'll chime
I was watching lights move up and down on a tablet.
Yeah.
All right, well, were you guys there for any length of time, other guys in the band?
We were. I was blown away with Knocked Down.
Yeah. Dude.
Knocked Down was
great.
Or wait.
Yeah.
We've had them on the show, too.
Is that Chris, right?
Yeah, Chris Bailey.
Stockton or whatever. Those guys shredded.
Yeah, they played right after us, and I'm really happy they played after us because I wouldn't have wanted to follow them. It was great. They were so good.
Yeah.
I really liked, this is going to sound really, really weird, but the dad punk band from Portland, Six Sundays with Foo Fleming.
Yeah, I'm Foo's so great. Bummed out.
They
I miss
actually,
Foo.
They were really, really good.
And they were so dad.
Like, they were so dad.
Oh, yeah.
They came out in khaki shorts.
Did he wear his fez?
Yes, he did.
Okay, good.
Of course he did.
Good.
Everyone kept telling us about that. I guess they introduced themselves not as themselves, but as like, I'm so-and-so's dad, or I'm so-and-so's dad. And I thought that was hilarious.
That's legit. That's legit.
But
they
killed, man.
They were so fun.
They were awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, Foo and I are in talks one of these days. We'll get these guys to take a Monday and Tuesday off work to come do a podcast in Reno.
Where are they from?
They live in Portland now. Foo's from here, but he moved to Portland in like
2013. So they made a pretty good trek down.
They did.
Oh, yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah. I was trying to find the set list on my phone, or the lineup. Yeah. I can't remember, but there was one band that played around us that was just drums, guitar, and like a synthesizer.
Fornis.
They were
Cryptilian
super fun.
Had some drum... tracks.
Oh,
yeah.
Fornis was pretty good too. Those guys were rocking out, man.
I was actually going to make
into that.
I was going to make a self-deprecating joke about us related to Fornis on stage, and then that girl swallowed a sword, and I forgot my joke.
It sucks because Jim makes good jokes on stage.
Yeah, it just that shook me.
How do you follow that? Like, really?
Right. Well, I was already a little shook because she let a complete stranger like pull a sword out of her.
Yeah,
which is. Fucked up.
Yeah.
In like the best possible
You're
way.
You're always expecting some blood gushing somewhere.
Yeah. Yeah. But then the guy stapled a $10 bill to his face and then it didn't matter. That was more metal than us.
Didn't skip a beat and it was like the most perfect moment ever.
Am I the only one that wonders what their love life is like?
I don't think so.
I'm friends with both of them on Facebook. They don't have a lot of secrets, dude. Just follow them, yeah. You can like connect the dots.
I'm gonna staple my scrotum to your thigh. Let's go. Or some weird shit, like, you know. Damn.
No size.
That bummed me out.
I felt like everybody thought that. I think just because we were like the metal band for the whole weekend, that we'd like be all in on stapling stuff to him. Jason was the only one that stepped up. I was so creeped out. I was creeped out because
you're
Jason
like the most
did it.
Buttoned down guy there. Like you're Bob Newhart.
I didn't want to, but like.
You kind of wanted to. Brian, like, you stepped right up.
You had your money out.
Brian.
He had Brian's money out.
Brian.
Brian pulled the five out and was like, but I'm not going to do it. And I was just like, all right.
I'm all the way back there.
Right?
Now, was it
like
a
on.
Swing line or a staple gun?
Staple
it was
gun.
A staple gun.
And if I remember correctly...
See, a swing line would be more fun to just smack on the forehead. Well, Houdini, next time I see you, let's do that. A swing line to your forehead.
Those staple gun staples are gnarly, though.
I pushed a little, I think I pressed a little harder than I needed to. Just, you know...
Oh,
like,
God,
because
you want to go in.
Yeah.
You're in
a metal
you did band. His face?
No, I did his nipple.
Oh, his nipple. Yeah.
And if I remember correctly, he did the same thing last year, right? The staple.
Yeah, that's his thing. Yeah, that's he does that every year.
How many days a year does that guy do that?
Right?
I don't know.
I'm going to guess a lot.
He showed me his scar. It's pretty crazy.
Well, I had made the joke right before because at first Jason handed the $5 to his girlfriend and he was like, oh, no, I don't want her to do it. It'll hurt. And I'm like, I think it'll be worse if Jason does it. And I was just kidding. And Jason did it and he goes, that was fucking worse.
Well, it's a staple gun. Like, you know, when you're stapling wood, you got to press it. You know, you make sure.
Right, like you're doing like you're hanging up flyers.
Yeah. You're mid. Right, yeah, you're hanging up flyers. You're making sure you get it in there.
Right.
I mean, it probably, somehow it's probably worse if you don't press very hard. So
I would imagine. Yeah, because it'll
bounce
back out.
If you push hard
and
staple your nipple to your rib cage, that hurt?
That would take a lot of
get one of those roofing staplers, like the one-handed, bang, 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 bang.
Yeah, hammer tacker it to him.
Yeah, there you go.
I think part of why it creeped me out so bad is because I used to do finish carpentry, and I've shot myself with pin nailers before.
Oh,
so
I know
what that shit feels like, and I would not do that for $5.
You know, the fucked up thing.
Especially not the head for $10.
The fucked up thing.
I'm just glad
is,
nobody whipped out $100.
Yeah.
Me too.
A coworker today
Scrote.
Was... And I work with people who, like, don't... You know, most of my coworkers are kind of...
You know, staple shit.
Not the people that come to the punk rock flea market. Yeah. And today, one of my coworkers was like, oh, dude, so I saw a video of you from this weekend. On Snapchat.
The internet's a hell of a drug.
Stupid internet.
Because all my staff are kind of young and they're all on Snapchat. We're all old and we're not on it, but whatever. All these videos kept popping, like, oh shit, that's our boss, like, stapling a dude's nipple.
You have to use
I'm
that
like,
now.
Great. No one's ever going to look at me at work the same again.
So did that make,
that could be
did
good,
that
though.
Make
you
the rounds
that, like,
at your work?
Yeah.
Oh, excellent.
Totally. Rory knows.
I know where he works, and they're all very nice and fine people.
Yes, that's
you should
right.
just start carrying a staple gun in a holster.
Yeah, you could scare them.
Just
like, if you
just
fuck
keep
up,
everybody in line.
Staple gun.
Everyone, you've seen my Snapchat.
You pull it out, like, spin it around on your finger. Want to make $10?
Hold still.
Keep the tip.
It's time for your quarterly review. It did not go well.
Clack clack.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, well, let's have another song.
And have another song. Yeah. So this is weird because the only songs we know are the songs that are on our record that's coming out.
I was just saying, let's talk about this real quick before we go into the next one. Yeah.
Yeah. So we have a record coming out on Humanitarist Records. Probably April or May-ish. It depends. Like, everything was going along just fine, and then the place that makes like 90% of the vinyl lacquers,
the vinyl factory,
to the fucking ground. And so now the two places that had the other 10% now have 100% of it.
So I got to admit, when I saw that headline, I really thought, like, that's got to be a hard times.
I wished it was.
Vinyl record, owners beware.
But so
that's
anyway,
crazy.
We're aiming for May. It's kind of out of our hands at the moment because we don't know when we're going to actually have the
final.
Yeah.
That's pretty crazy, though.
But we recorded
it's
it.
It's unfortunate.
I don't know. What.
March.
So with the songs, with the songs you're almost playing tonight, these are all like first listens, like a sneak peek.
To a degree. I mean, we've played them all live for the last year or so.
First time on the internet.
And like, first time.
Well, no, not all of them. There's
not
one
all
song
of them.
That was previously
we did.
Released.
We snuck one out.
Well, you said this is going to be exclusive. Come on, give me something.
Well, we also thought it was going to be in May.
That's true.
We don't need to talk about that.
There's one that was previously recorded, but we don't have to play that.
There's an elephant in the room that we don't need to talk about.
An elephant not in the room?
Hey.
Elephant, yeah.
Anyway.
Just the ones with rifles.
Oh, man.
Long story short, we recorded a record back in March. It came out, in our opinion, brilliantly.
Yeah.
And we're super excited for everyone to hear
it. Cool.
And... Yeah, so we'll just play another one off of that because those are the only songs we have because we're lazy.
And where did we record it?
We recorded it at Wires and Noise. Is it Wires and Noise Audio?
I think it's Wires and Noise Audio Services.
Audio Services, yeah. With Colin Christian.
Yeah.
Oh, rad.
Yeah, so Colin engineered and mixed. It was mastered by Jared Hirschlin. Aaron Edge from Portland, Oregon did the artwork. And Pitch Black Printing here in town is printing the covers. And then we're having the vinyl pressed, whatever's
somewhere.
And whoever's still in business.
A nicely packaged, mostly local and all DIY offering. Yeah, I dig it. Yeah.
Jared's from here, so he's
Jared's an old man.
Well, then it's all locally produced and created.
JLH Audio, LA.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah, so
this song's a fast one. Imagine that.
This is our fast one.
It's fast in more ways than one. Thank you. Good night.
Yeah.
See, you got to play another one.
We get two.
Yeah.
Do we have to? Is that
another one?
Flint.
It is Ape Law.
You get to.
Let's do Flint.
It is Ape Law, and it is worst little podcast precedent.
Yes. Okay.
We're doing Flint.
We're doing Flint. Here we go. This song is called Flint.
This is our fast one.
What the fuck is wrong with us? What the fuck is
sucked.
Ooh, I need a break.
You don't even know, Riku.
Kiss my damn ass, you little shit.
I wasn't even doing anything, and I'm exhausted.
Fuck, that was so rad, you guys.
That was so shit.
Fun fact. There are 18 cuss words on the entire record, and they're all in those two songs.
Nice.
Yeah, and Jim went through a phase when we were writing lyrics for those.
You guys are going to have to edit that down for the radio then, probably, huh?
Yeah. Because, I mean, you hear it clear as day when you say it. Sing it.
I think it's super funny. We wrote 10 songs, two of them have cuss words, and but it's 17.
I love the fact that you counted.
Well, and that one, you guys were talking at the show. That one's about Flint, Michigan, yeah?
It is, yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, and here I thought it was about Fred Flintstone.
It landed on this guy.
I love Flintstone jokes.
Yeah, that. So I wrote the lyrics to that song before we had music for it, and I was watching a news report about how the water crisis in Flint happened and how nothing was happening to fix it, and I was just so
and is still.
Fucking,
dude, still continue.
Let him finish.
Yeah, I was so fucking angry. And so I wrote just this tirade about it. And then Ross brought us this music.
Ross wrote the music for that one.
Kind of didn't fit us, but we ran it through the scattering blender and turned it into what you just heard. And just by coincidence, the rant that I had written about Flint fit perfectly with what we wrote. So Flint was
excellent.
Born.
Fuck yeah.
But yeah, so 5 years in, and 80% of Flint, Michigan still doesn't have clean water.
Yeah, lead poisoning.
And it's ridiculous.
And every so often, when Jim talks about the song, we have to say, oh, how many years has it been now? And so if I remember correctly, the lyric on the recording is not up to date now, right?
Jason, talk in your mic.
Sorry. When I first wrote the song,
come back into the room, Jason.
I'm looking at Jim. He's a good looking guy.
Right. When I first wrote the song, the opening line was 3 years and still counting. It's now 4 years and still counting on the record. And then at shows, I say 5 years and counting. And it's really depressing to write like a socially relevant song that stays relevant.
Yeah. And you have to just keep updating it as
yeah,
you go.
It's just, and we have a couple of those now. We have a couple songs that I wrote about specific things in the news that I hoped would be dated and we could stop playing them. And they still are super relevant. And that's fucking depressing.
Really shitty.
Yeah.
Fucked up.
No good.
The world's fucked up place.
It is.
Yeah.
Yep.
Hey kids, don't forget to vote.
Right?
caucus on the 22nd. Yeah, get out there.
Early caucus.
Get out and early vote
through 18.
Yeah.
Do it in your pajamas.
You can early caucus?
You can early caucus in Nevada where 1 out of 50.
This weekend,
this weekend. The downtown library.
I thought I was going to have to miss it.
And be nice to the caucus volunteers.
Yes,
please. Yeah.
They are woefully understaffed.
So everybody in this room has caucused before?
Yes.
I have not. Mm-hmm.
It is a bizarre experience.
It's frustrating. I really wish I had
It's a pretty complicated procedure.
It should really be changed to a primary.
Absolutely. Yeah. That should just be the same thing in all 50 states. We should have primaries everywhere.
Isn't it just standing under a guy's name in a corner?
Essentially.
But then you can like shuffle and change your mind, and then they let you do that again.
Right. Or like
whereas in
name
a primary,
dropped.
It's like election day. You go in,
you cast
your ballot, and you go about your day.
But if somebody becomes non-viable in that situation, those votes don't get to go to somebody else. You don't get to make a second pick.
Yeah.
That's the good thing about the caucus, right?
Yeah, but there's a reason that most states have phased out the caucus.
Because it's a pain in the ass.
It made sense, frankly, like in Iowa and Nevada when the state populations and local townships were much smaller. Mm-hmm. And it was a bunch of people getting together in like the school gymnasium.
Right.
And you're talking like groups of maybe a couple hundred people, tops. And that system was designed to be flexible for that kind of political engagement. But now, as we've moved into the 21st century, frankly, there is no place that is like that anymore.
Yeah. Right.
Even the small towns, it's a 10-minute, 15-minute drive to the polling place, you know.
One of the biggest flaws in the caucusing system I learned about when I caucused for Obama. And so our little district got together, and we were pretty much split Hillary and Obama. And eventually we narrowed it down and decided that the whole district was going for Hillary. But then me as an Obama person, I got picked as the delegate. They didn't pick one of the people who was on board. Right. So
you're a delegate for Hillary?
Right.
Yeah.
Who was someone I didn't support.
Yeah.
And then so I'm over talking to the person who's explaining to me what the delegate process is. And she just goes, oh, you were siding with Obama. And I was like, yeah. She's like, when you go there, nobody will know that. You can just cast your vote for whoever.
Yep.
I'm like, that is so fucking dishonest.
Yeah.
Like,
it's convoluted.
We had 18 people, and I lost, so I should just go there and be honest about it. She's like, yeah, but you don't have to. And that is why caucusing sucks.
It sucks. Yeah, I did my first
and
one
it,
last
And it is also,
time.
It is at times somewhat exclusionary to people who can't
it's
make
time
it.
It's time-consuming.
People with disabilities who can't necessarily be there and just stand around for 5 hours.
Yeah, you can't expect people to get involved when they have to commit that much time to it. It would be nice if they could just go and let their opinion be known.
Our future should be decided by fit people who have time on their hands.
Yeah, sure.
Fit, it is.
Fit people with money and no tan.
Wait, that's how it already is.
Oh, wait, yeah. That's how it works.
Anyway.
But no, it's important, folks. Get out and do shit this year. Like, no matter what you think.
Please.
Yeah, just be engaged.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah.
Do the thing.
Yeah, why not? Doesn't really... The actual voting process and the research doesn't take that much time. Just go, spend a little bit of time on it and think about it and do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you don't pay any attention, don't vote.
Yep. Yeah.
Don't just vote because you're supposed to.
Do a little research.
Actually look a couple things up,
but at
please.
The end of the day, it is a give it your best shot.
Yeah.
Like,
what do you think? We all know we get in there and we're like, this one race is really important to me. And then you get in there and like, judge who?
But like I said,
he's Italian. I'm Italian.
2 hours every 2 years to just look over the entire ballot.
The sample ballot is available through the mail.
It only takes a minute
but
to research.
All I do is read the two articles that are in the Reno Gazette Journal about each guy, and I don't fucking know if that's great or not.
Well, you got to pick one.
Yeah, you're right.
Well, then give it your best shot.
Better than nothing.
Yeah, what? He's got a chihuahua? That's my move.
That should be a rule. I feel like you can't be president.
I dated a girl whose dad had the same middle name as his last name.
I wasn't going to say that part out loud, but I'm glad you did.
I will. I'll say that out loud all day long.
Is he a cat person?
No, he doesn't have any.
He doesn't like animals.
He has no. Well, he has Mike Pence.
And the entire GOP set.
Yeah, the lap dogs.
That's so good. Oh man.
I was gonna ask about you guys have any upcoming shows?
Do we?
You just had a show, but where else can people get a hold of your sweet, sweet rock melodies?
So
March 21st.
Yeah, March 21st. That's right. At Jub Jub's, we are doing a benefit for the family of a young man who was killed by police in Sparks, and we're doing a benefit for funeral costs, essentially.
Right.
It's at Jub Jub's, March 21st, with Vi. I'm so bad at this.
Look it up on Facebook, kids.
Yeah, just
it's on Facebook.
You can find us on Facebook,
you can literally,
Instagram.
You've probably already found it faster, waiting for us to find it. All right,
so it's with the Scattering, Heterophobia, Vi, and I'm Junior.
Yes.
Oh,
thank you. Heterophobia.
I feel even worse that I forgot Heterophobia.
New Kim.
Friends
I like it. Ian is New Kim.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah. What was that you were saying about getting rid of your nickname, Ian?
Yeah. It's apparently it's now New Kim instead of Shrek.
So yeah, and then we have three others that we can't really talk about because they're not completely solidified yet. But there's one probably at the end of May.
But
one probably in the middle of April.
There's a place you guys are on Facebook.
So
and
you guys
all
are
yeah, we're
so
on Facebook,
can,
we're
know,
on Instagram, we're on Twitter. We have a band
keep
camp.
Up with all the new information
yeah,
as it comes out.
You're playing basically monthly here, every 6 weeks.
Well,
so. We're a weird band. Like, we'll play a bunch, and then we'll disappear for, like, a year. And then we have to remind everyone that we exist again. Mm. But, like, with the record coming out, I think we're going to be way more consistent. Like, fingers crossed.
Gotcha.
Be,
yeah.
We're going to get better at this.
With the record coming out, fingers crossed.
Yeah. We're going to get better at this. But so
In terms of the record, I'm going to launch pre-orders in April.
Okay.
For sure. It may take a little longer to get the vinyl, but once we start the pre-orders, we'll pick a release date approximately 6 weeks out from that. And if you order it through our Bandcamp, you'll get the digital on that day. And then depending on what vinyl manufacturing looks like due to the fire, it might be delayed right. a little bit, but we'll get it. And we'll get it to the people who have purchased it. But so April, the record's coming out in April.
Okay.
Excellent.
Sweet.
It's not really that far away.
Nah.
No.
Nah.
I mean, it seems like forever for us because we recorded it in March. But
so. That's March 2019.
Yeah.
Right. For those of you who are doing
it. You have not recorded it in the time future.
Travel. We have not. We have not mastered time travel.
Yet. Working on it. Oh, something else I did want to ask you about. Goat Lord.
Oh, yeah. So I have a YouTube channel. This is Jim, by the way, this screamer guy.
Jim is an avid outdoorsman.
Yeah, so I have a hiking. Yeah, and Brian goes on like 90% of the hikes.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay,
yeah,
cool.
We're partners in crime when it comes to getting out into the woods and making stupid decisions.
Yeah.
and we document those stupid decisions on Goat Lord Hiking on the YouTubes. So
who would tell us what
Brian? You haven't said anything in a while.
What tell us about the goat? Like, why should we watch your hiking show versus somebody else's?
So from the outside looking in, I'm gonna sneak in before Jim starts talking. Jim and I have been kind of hiking together for about 5 years, and there's been quite a learning curve in terms of just not only the physical capacity to do bigger and bigger days, or maybe more difficult terrain or even off trail kind of adventures. And it's been kind of a process of like lightening packs, getting stronger, learning how to like actually stop and eat when you're hungry, but then don't eat too much, make sure you're drinking water. And we've learned a bunch of seemingly really simple, obvious things the hard way. And I think
like apples make you poop. I learned that the hard way.
Yeah, don't eat a lot of green apples.
No. Or you know, things like your water filter can freeze and then it doesn't work anymore.
Oh, Jesus.
How's that happen? Yeah. There's water?
Well, no, that means you have to keep your water filter between two pillows, if you know what I'm saying. Then it won't freeze.
And so to Jim's credit, he started kind of documenting things, and so we would go out and like maybe the avalanche conditions would be just a little sketchy, and so it's a good video to
describe for the listeners. Like, where are you guys? Like, what are you talking about? Like, what kind of terrains or areas are you talking about?
Well, we've done, you know, huge chunks of the Tahoe Rim Trail. We've done Lassen. We've done Mount Whitney together.
So this is out in the middle of effing nowhere.
5 feet of snow, or like.
Sometimes, yeah.
30.
Holy shit, that's not even fun.
Like, we did... So, the Lassen trip we did...
Didn't you fall off a mountain one of these trips, or almost did?
I did almost die. Thanks for bringing that up. I'll tell the almost dead story in a second, but let me tell you the Lassen story first. So, we hiked Lassen, I want to say 4 months, maybe 6 months after I almost died, and... It was about a 6-hour ascent because the snow was so gnarly. And I had like a panic attack about 30 minutes from the summit, and I tapped out. Less than a mile. And then Brian finished and came back down and met me. And then we glissaded down, which for those of you who don't know what that means, is you sit on your butt in the snow and you just slide and just sort of let gravity take the wheel. And so our 6-hour ascent became a 45-minute descent.
Wow. Wow. Oh, best slide in the world,
yeah,
man.
And you have like an ice axe that you kind of use as like a rudder, so you're not just like completely and totally out of control. Like, you can stop and turn-ish.
French fry pizza.
Yeah. Except for with your butt cheeks.
You're going to have a bad time. Yeah.
But, so because Roy brought it up, we'll talk about Tower Peak. So Tower Peak is kind of the white whale for Brian and I. We've hiked that trail 3 times now.
And where is this?
It's the northern boundary of Yosemite.
Okay.
So you come in from Sonora Pass, and there's 3 ways to get there. We've only gone the one way. And no matter which way you pick, it's a 20-mile hike in before you can even start climbing the 10,000-foot summit.
It's 11,700-something.
And this is why I bring Brian, because he remembers things like which way is north, how tall mountains are. I had none of that.
What time is it?
Yeah. Like, we'll be hiking a trail we've hiked like a bunch of times. I'm like, what mountain's that? He's like, we climbed that one. I don't know. Anyway, so we...
You're just wandering in the woods.
And that's largely what my channel is about, is just me wandering in the woods, doing something stupid, and getting back out alive.
Okay. Like almost dying.
Right. Yeah. So
part of the fulfilling process is that it is something that, like, we're never going to climb Mount Everest, you know? Like, we have a better chance of walking on the moon than doing something like that. And... It's one of those things that you can get better and better and better forever. And so there's so much to learn and so many different things to see. And you see something in July and then come back in February and it's a completely different place.
Yeah.
Pretty cool.
So I'm going to cliff notes the first two tower trips. Tower one, we were woefully out of shape and completely unprepared for
the miles
and I think the elevation gain and loss, because it's one of those trails where you know, you gain 800, then you lose 600 feet, and then you gain 400 feet, and you lose 500 feet, and it's all day like that for 20 miles. Where you're
right.
And so the first
your equilibrium's just all assaulted with chaos.
Yeah. And so the first time we were out there, we got to a reasonably safe place to camp and just decided we were done. We were going to sleep. And we were going to leave the next morning, and we did that. So
A month later,
we decided to do it a second time, and we made it to basically the same campground.
It's not really a campground. The last 4 miles of getting to this place is there's no more trail. The trail disappears.
Yeah, you just kind of bushwhack, and you find a flat spot to sleep.
Sure.
And that trip, was that the mosquito trip, or was the third trip the mosquito trip?
The third one.
Okay. So that trip, we got up to where you actually go to summit. We were about 50 feet from the summit. And we had chosen our path pretty poorly and ended up doing a bunch of like rock scrambling and almost like bouldering at a certain point.
Yeah.
And we got into
free climbing.
Yeah. And so we got into like the last chute and the wind was blowing. I'm a big dude. And at the time, I was a bigger dude, and I got into
you catch a lot of wind.
Well, I got into the chute, and it moved my whole fat ass to the other side of the chute.
Wow!
And we decided, no, we're not going to go stand on a tiny little summit that can only hold two people when the wind down here is moving 230 pounds of me all the way.
I'm sure it'll be different once you get up above that.
Right. Usually worse. So we bailed out of that one.
Yeah.
And then third trip, and this was it. We were doing it. No matter what, we were summiting this fucking goddamn mountain. It had to happen.
We knew the way this time.
We knew the way. Yeah. We were fit. We were ready to go. And there were like apocalyptic clouds of mosquitoes the entire time.
Oh God!
It was, and there was nothing you could do. Like,
it's just the mating season time of year.
Yeah, and it was it was on the tail end of like a 200% snow year, and mosquito larvae live for basically ever until there's enough water. And
a year like that.
So we had like 6 years of unhatched mosquitoes who were just ready to party.
Oh my God.
Jesus Christ.
So just this miserable hike in, being eaten alive.
When we cooked dinner, I had my bandana wrapped around my face and my hoodie cinched down to where only my glasses and eyes were out. And then it just became like a scramble to try and shovel chili into my mouth as quickly as possible so I could get back in my tent.
Oh, it was my God.
And not eat more mosquitoes.
Yeah.
Right. So we get up to Tower Lake, which is kind of the beginning of the actual climb. Mm. And the whole thing is completely socked in with snow, like dangerous amounts of snow.
And ice.
There's this big chute at the end that you're supposed to climb, and it's where we had climbed up trip two. And there's this huge cornice hanging over the edge. So there's no way. We're not getting up there.
Right.
So we looked at the map. We figured some stuff out. And I figured out that if we went up this cliff, like basically scrambled up the side of this cliff, we could catch a ridge. The ridge would take us to where we needed to go to summit. All that worked brilliantly. We summited. We were the sixth and seventh or seventh and eighth people to summit that mountain that whole year.
Nice.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah. So like no one goes out there because it's stupid. It's like the most remote place you can get to.
An enormous pain in the ass.
Yeah. And we did it three times. So on the way out, we grabbed the wrong ridge. We thought we were on the ridge that would drop us back down to Tower Lake, and we weren't. We walked across this one huge snowfield, and we're feeling super good. Like, we're just full of ourselves at this point. Like, so much confidence. Like, we finally summited this mountain. And we walked across this one snowfield. Everything went fine. No
Did you not notice that your footprints from before weren't there?
Shut up.
I'm just like mad data law of past incident. Like, you know.
To be fair, too, in the summertime, when you walk through the snow and it's kind of like styrofoam soft in the morning, by the time the afternoon rolls around, your footprints will melt and they'll disappear.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So there, Rick.
You jackass.
Jim and Brian have hypoxia and start stripping.
But to answer the root of your question, yes, we did know we were on the wrong ridge.
Okay, good.
But it was going the right direction. Oh, and so we thought,
down.
We'll just work it out. What? Like, it'll be fun.
What harm can this be?
Right. So we get to this second massive snowfield that was
quite a bit steeper.
Quite a bit. And it was like, there's this point where, like, professional mountaineers and stuff will tell you not to walk on something. This was a little steeper than that.
Mm.
And I felt immediately uncomfortable, but we did it anyway. And this is the part where you should be taking notes, because this is where the lesson comes in. I had a plan, and my plan was to walk straight across in a diagonal line to this field of rocks. Had I done that, I would not be telling this story today because nothing bad would have happened. For some reason, about halfway across my diagonal line, I decided to turn, cut a switchback, go back the other way, and then I was going to cut a switchback and hit the rock field a little bit lower. So I turned around and lost my feet. And so the first thing you do is, it's called a belay, where you basically take your ice axe and you shove it all the way down into the snow and create like a handle that you can hold on to, regain yourself, stand back up, and you're good to go.
Clean your pants.
Right. Well, the fucking ice broke.
Oh, shit.
Where I put my axe in. And so now me and like this basketball chunk size of ice are sliding down this like 45 degree glacier.
Oh, wow.
Oh, my God.
I rolled over to do what's called a self-arrest, which is, you basically put the less sharp part of the axe into like the joint between your shoulder and your pec, and you shove the sharper point into the snow or the ice. The second it hit, the axe came out of my hand.
Oh, wow.
And so I was just free falling down this glacier.
You lost your ice.
I had no axe. Oh, wow. I had nothing. And I remember rolling, man. Your podcast is about to get so dark. I just want you to know. I had not planned on talking about this tonight. I rolled back over onto my back, and I remember really, really clearly thinking to myself, oh, Brian has to watch me die.
Oh, man. Oh. Yeah. Yeah.
And I had watched, like, we watched a bunch of YouTube videos and you know, to learn how to use the ice axe, to learn how to use the crampons, to learn how to use all this crap that we carry. And on a whim, like two or three nights before the trip, I decided to Google, like, worst case scenario. What's the worst thing that can fucking happen when you're hiking on the ice? And there's this crazy Swedish dude who cusses more. Like, there are more cuss words than any other words combined in his videos. Like, for every, like, five-word sentence, three of those are fuck. And he talks super fast, and he talks in this really crazy Swedish accent, and it's absolutely the most entertaining thing I've ever found on YouTube. But he does all these worst-case scenario videos. And, you know, and he gets up there, and he's like, oh, you see all these fucking guys talking about what the fuck they do when this happens, and everything always goes perfect. He's like, well, what happens when everything goes wrong? He's like, that's what this video is about. And I'm like, all right, we're watching this. And so basically, his solution, if you lose your axe, is to get into, like, kind of a Jesus Christ pose. I'm knocking all your shit over.
As much, like,
yeah,
like
you spread out as much as you can. And
create friction. And
theoretically, it's supposed to slow you down. It doesn't at all.
Oh, God.
But it turned me. And so it turned me just enough that instead of pitching over the cornice at the end of the snowfield, I smashed into these giant boulders. And so I basically went from, like, however fast the human body can slide on a 45-degree angle to zero.
Pretty fast. Yeah.
And just, like, my organs smashed into everything. I broke my heel. And I just, like, I slid perfectly in between these two boulders.
It
was
like
pinned at my hip. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
The bruise on his thigh. He sent us a picture of it, and I was like, "Oh, that's bad." Then when he showed us in person, it was alarming.
It looked like a grape Kool-Aid stain on white carpet.
Was it a situation where you had to cut your arm off like in 127
no,
hours?
No, there was no limb chopping.
Like that.
But I was bleeding pretty profusely, and I had a broken heel. And
kind of makes it hard to hike back down a mountain.
Yeah.
So here's where the story gets super fun, kids, is like we had to walk out. There's no one coming. We're in one of the most remote places you can be. There's no rangers. There's no radio contact. There's no cell signal. Nobody's coming. And even if you can get a hold of somebody, they're going to go, yeah, that sucks.
Had you pitched over that end, day. Brian would have just had to walk home
just
by
like
himself.
He would have just had to left. Yeah. So... the first thing we had to do was get off the cliff that we were on, and I'm just broken and bruised and in shock.
Yeah.
And,
I remember
Brian. He's like, oh man, you're bleeding. Do you want to look at that? Nope. I don't want to see that. I don't need to see that. That can just happen. And we got back down the lake. We got back down to our camp, and I just took my clothes off and went to sleep. I was done.
Bleeding.
Just bleeding. Yeah, it's fine. We woke up, broke down, and then the plan was, so there's a ranger cabin down where you have to do this big river crossing. And so the plan was to go to the ranger cabin and have the rangers call someone and get me out of there. So I fell on July 4th. There's signs all the way up the trail. It says ranger cabin occupied from July 1st on to whatever date in October that they leave. No fucking rangers.
Mm. Oh, God.
None. Mm. No rangers. Just marmots eating the cabin. They were of little help.
You could follow them to freedom.
follow the marmots. They know where to go.
Right. They know the secret entrance exit is.
All they wanted to do was get in the cabin and eat it.
Oh,
I don't eat cabin, so there's a little cowboy camp that looks down on the ranger cabin. So we decided we were going to camp there, and the rangers would be there in the morning because why not, right?
Yeah, cross your fingers, yeah.
Right, and so I was so done at this point. I didn't even I took my boots off and then just walked across the river, just in fully clothed with my backpack still on and everything. I didn't care anymore at all. So we got there, set up the tent, and I just went back to sleep again. And, of course, in the morning, no rangers. And then the plan then became we would hike until we saw another person, and then we would wait where
cry
we met
and beg
that person.
For help.
Yeah, and beg for help. It's July 4th weekend, right?
Somebody's got to be around.
Nope.
Oh my God.
One person the whole time, and he's like 2 miles away from our car. And Brian's like, do you want to talk to that? Nope. Let's just fucking go. So, yeah.
And
that's...
In retrospect with all of this, I think one of the things that I admire about Jim doing the YouTube videos is we were unprepared. YouTube is not a substitute for practical experience. And so it has prompted both of us to get out and actually practice things, get out and work on skills. And you got to be in shape. You got to know how to use your tools. And it was a very scary and traumatic accident, and I'm glad it wasn't worse. But
so, as far as your timetables, where is free soloing El Cap?
Oh my God!
Well, like, is that next 2 years?
I'm gonna go with never.
I would say I don't think that's ever gonna get repeated.
Yeah. I think that was a one time.
I don't think that counts as hiking either.
Dude, right?
No.
That documentary made me want to piss my
Dude,
pants.
Seriously,
the thing is so crazy. I've seen it several times. And every single time I'm on the edge of my seat, like, oh, fuck, is he going to fall? I know he's not. I've seen it before, but it shot so well.
Yeah.
It shot so well and it scored so well that repeated watchings, I'm still like shaking with anticipation that he might fall this time. Like, but to answer your original question before I went on my long-winded story,
yes,
the main purpose of the channel is for people just getting into hiking to learn things. So the bulk of my videos,
you should tell them this story.
Yeah, well, it's coming. It's it's on its way.
It's being recorded right now pretty well.
You should use some of this audio.
But because there's 100 channels, you know, of people who've walked the entire Pacific Crest Trail, people who've done all three of the big trails. You know, that's the bulk of YouTube, is these through hikers who take like 2 years off their life and walk a single trail. And so my channel is more dedicated to like weekend warriors, people who can get out for a day or get out and camp for one night or whatever. Well,
kind of
people
like our band.
Yeah.
Weekend warriors.
But like people who can't take 6 months of their life and walk a single trail. It's for people like everyone in this room who just want to go on a hike.
Yeah, exactly.
So.
And what was the name of the channel again?
Goat Lord Hiking.
Awesome.
What's the name of the Swedish guy with the foul language?
I'm trying to remember.
Yeah.
Is it Sven?
I don't think it is.
That's the only Swedish
I'll just go on YouTube and try to find Swedish hiker.
I can almost guarantee if you
crazy
if
Swedish
you
hiker.
Google vulgar Swedish hiker, his shit will come up.
Jason's whipping his phone out right now.
That's
I was told to turn it off.
Vulgar Swedish hiker.
I don't know if he still makes videos. That was
well, if they're on YouTube, they're forever.
Yeah, they're forever. But he's hilarious. Works at one of the resorts, too, which is even funnier, because he's, like, on the back of, like, this multi-million-dollar resort, and there's all these people with, like,
they're fucking custom
snow jackets and, like, super expensive skis and stuff, and he's just down there swinging axes around. And
wearing fur.
Yeah.
All right, I'm just going to throw this out there for everyone listening. If you Google search vulgar Swedish hiker and switch the Google search to videos,
I bet
some pretty hardcore porn. Like every third result is
Swedes in the woods.
Hey-o.
I swear.
Getting vulgar. Yeah, that's...
That's
awesome. You don't have to play the full video for us, right? Put that away.
And that
put
might be all right, too.
Put both of those away. All right.
Oh, God.
Oh, man.
Oh, fuck.
All right, I think it's time for a song.
Okay.
Yeah.
This is your last song.
This is the last song.
Yeah.
And
we've already done
about that time. So what? You guys have shows coming up in March and beyond. You were saying,
possibly April, May, and definitely the one in March 21st at Jub Jub's.
But then after the record comes out, we'll be doing stuff.
Yeah, it's a weird time in a band's life when you're putting out a record, because it's like you don't want to overbook stuff because you want to have like a record release show, but you don't want to not book stuff because you want to sell records.
Yeah.
We're in this weird booking limbo where it's like, if we book this, are we going to have the record at this show, or are we just going to have to tell people the record's coming out? Like,
then you'll have to book another show to sell it to them.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. And then if you play too much, nobody comes. It's a weird time in a band's life.
Yeah.
New Kim, do you have anything to tell us about?
Oh, God damn it.
It's not New Kim.
Don't
much
make
as,
it stick.
It's Backup Kim.
Backup Kim.
Oh, that's way worse.
There's a show happening. No, that's next weekend. Damn it. Where's this weekend?
There is Drink 182 Live at Picnic.
Ah, yes.
On Friday at 7. There's going to be live music from the C4 Cinema doing covers. There's also, you know, they're going to be playing emo and all that pop punk stuff all night. And you'd get some kind of early bird special if you show up early.
Don't miss that.
Yeah.
Drink 182 is super
it's
fucking
always
fun. It's the best thing that you'll do on New Year's, or sorry, not New Year's, Valentine's Day.
Yeah. And then also on Valentine's Day, there is the annual Bloody Valentine's. We've got, who is it playing? Tommy and the Tongues, Basha, and Kill on Command at Shays.
Yeah, do that too.
Nice.
And that starts at 9:30, so you can make it to both. You can get that early bird special and then head on over to Shays and see a great show.
Fuck cool. Yeah, dude.
All right.
You should all definitely watch Basha. They're one of my Basha's favorite bands in Reno.
They are love super them. Good.
Thank you, Lil' Kim.
Lil' Kim.
Oh, God damn it.
There you go.
I mean, there were some other things, but I think I'm done now. There is one thing
I really should. Come on.
There is one that really should bring up. There's the Andy and Annie Dickinson's benefit bash on Sunday. It starts at noon. There's going to be, Leroy Virgil of Hellbound Glory, Roxy Colley, and Grimtones and Vi will be playing.
Good lineup.
Shit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Noon to 9. Rocks. And it's for, you know, a great cause to help somebody with medical bills and shit. So, like.
Andy was a longtime iconic fixture at the
Hideout.
The Hideout. Thank you.
Yes.
That one bar.
That one bar.
So, yeah, that's Sunday starting at noon. So, if you got the time, please come out and support.
And where is it? Bart.
That is at Jubs.
Jubs. At Jubs, okay. Yeah.
So, Rosh, whatever you do, don't do that when I do that.
Oh, yeah. So, they're standing, like, they're facing opposite, but
like
right next to each other. So, they could totally, totally cross the stream.
We're in a sword fight.
We're in a sword fight.
Rick. Hey. Get your lighter ready.
Get in here.
It would not be the first time.
We should probably decide what song we're playing.
Yeah, I figured Feed the Machine.
This is our fast one.
Is it faster than the last one?
Yes.
Yes.
Where are you going to talk us out?
This time.
Oh, right. There's that whole thing. So, I guess for Nick Ramirez, Cadillac Kim, Chewbacca, Dogwater Dick, Ian, Lil Kim, and all of our Patreon sponsors and patrons. Our Patreon patrons, get it?
Hey,
This is the Reverend Rory Dowd signing off for the Worst Little Podcast. Life is short and we love you. Good night, ladies.
On the Worst Little Podcast, we're talking out of our ass. Yeah!
head's cooler and the screams fading away.
Dark Water Studios.
The fact he has lips like a woman.
Put it in your ear.